let's turn the frown upside down.
So, any hoozles, on that note, welcome, guys. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, welcome to the House of the Fort. Yeah, the Tree Fort gang welcomes you to the castle.
Yeah, you just ad-libbing it. Thanks for joining us, guys. You know, we got the Fantastic Four, the Core Four. Some of the most handsome guys that I know, which, you know.
And all of Westeros.
Yeah, those Essos guys. We can't compete.
I am definitely better looking than Lord Strong. I'll say that much.
Laerys?
Which one?
Laerys. Lord, any of them. Yeah.
No, except Simon for, Strong. Simon Strong.
Daddy. Yeah.
Simon Strong's kind of father.
He's a bit of a stud, but he's fucking dead, so I know I look better than him right now.
Whoa, no, I said Simon Strong, the fat one.
Aaron, yeah, the old fat one. Yeah,
he's my guy. He looks like he reminds me of Sam Tarly.
That's what I always, every time I see him, I'm like, man.
Yeah, he's like old Sam Tarly. So, yeah, we're doing House of the Dragon. We just watched the season 2 finale yesterday. Three of us did. Royals here just for the vibes as we started out on. So, guys, thanks for joining us. Who else am I joined by today?
Philip Outen, first of his name. Yeah.
Destroyer of toilets. Breaker of hearts.
Lord of Whitney Rock. Breaker of hearts, beater of cheeks.
Punisher of pole.
Spoon, yeah.
Breaker of backs.
Spooner of ladies. All of those.
All right, next.
It's a tough one to follow.
That's a tough one to follow. It's
so many names.
How do I even top that? So, you know, you got Stevie P, breaker of banks.
Sniffer of crotches
on Thursdays. Wiper Ooh. Of butt cheeks. That's every single damn day of my life.
Betwixt the cheeks.
And consumer of blue light.
He just looked around the room.
And well, I was thinking, and then king of ADHD and Adderall.
Not sponsored.
And the neurospicy crowd.
Wielder of a flashlight.
You said you wanted
call me Stevie the Fertile. Because I'm batting 1,000, boys.
The Riley Reed.
And bring it up the rears, Royal Mills, powered by energy drinks and blood pressure medication.
He said sponsored by.
No, powered by.
No, I know. But it's funny because you don't watch the show, so you don't know what we're doing.
Well, I mean, let's write a letter to the blood pressure medicine company and be like, hey, we got a podcast and, you know. Maybe you throw
start some collecting some dividends.
We got a very avid user that's a huge supporter of your brand.
Throw some discounts our way, and you know maybe we'll I'll take blood pressure, man. I don't care.
Don't make me pay that $5 copay no more.
No.
Speaking of discounts,
this is brought to you by GoodRx.
Yeah. Speaking of discounts, Joe John.
Royal, you want to give us the promo because it's you that set it up, and I think. I don't know the code exactly right now.
Yeah, deal, so guys. You can always go to shankitgolf.com and use coupon code TREEFORTGANG to receive 15% off your total purchase.
What can you get there, though?
You can get swag. You can get hats. You could get gloves. You can get bags.
Yeah, some golf apparel and some golf merchandise. I do want to say, just in case, you know, Beagle comes after us, this is not an endorsement of each other. It is just a promotional code that we have. But yeah, if you use that code at checkout, you get 15% off. Mm. And use it, please. We get a kickback.
We all want to look good when you're out there on the greens.
Yeah, there was a t-shirt I want to go order. Just like a regular golf shirt that was nice. I went golfing. 15%
off is a big number.
I went golfing Saturday for the first time down here, 18. It was It's so fucking hot here, bro. I was dying. It was tough. I was playing some of the best golf I've played all year, and then the heat just got to me, and I just fell apart.
Yeah, you hit that turn, and your shirt sticking to your chest, and
oh, that's
the worst. I was averaging for again. I'm not a good golfer by any means, but I was averaging. I think I was 6 per hole through the first 8. So. Nice. Double bogey golf, some of the best golf I've ever played. And at 9, I was just so hot and just like ready for the turn. And I fucking, it was a par 5. I got a 10. I just ruined my score.
Blame it on the heat, brother.
That's 100% what I'm doing. No, because then the whole back 9, you could just tell. I never got it back because I was just so bothered by how hot it was.
You'll get used to it. I'll say after a year, I started getting accustomed to it. And if I was looking good and Shank at Golf Apparel, I'd probably be doing even better.
Yeah, I got to order that t-shirt. Yeah, 15% off at checkout.
15% off.
Promo code TreeFortGang.
Shank it Golf.
You shout shank out.
Shank it.
Shank it.
All right, Breaker of Toilets. What are your thoughts so far? I mean, that finale we watched yesterday was...
Yeah, let's start with
not going to lie. It was not what I expected. I'll be honest with you guys.
What were you expecting?
I was expecting to have my mind blown. I was expecting action. I was expecting, similar to how the first season ended, where you're kind of left like, holy yeah. shit. I didn't get that feeling. Yeah. The episode itself, I thought was a pretty solid episode. I just don't think you can end a season on that note. I think that we kind of just got like an hour-long trailer for season 3.
That's we kind of got like an eight-hour long trailer for season.
Yeah, like, I absolutely loved. I was kind of getting annoyed with Damon's whole saga and his fucking bad trip going on.
Lay off my boy, right?
Hmm? Yeah.
Lay off my boy.
He was my favorite character, so it was a little disappointing through most of the season. The dude's just on a bad trip doing his own thing. Yeah. But when he touched the Godswood, and he saw those, I was like, damn.
So Will
Blood Raven.
I do want to unpack all of this, but general feelings, word on the street, a lot of people are not happy that it was very meh.
I'm hearing Game of Thrones season 7 comps.
Yeah, I think it was the second lowest rated Game of Thrones episode ever.
Yeah,
right. Just after season 8 finale,
and I don't know. Finale. I do know like generally what happens, and it feels like they are like it's the same playbook as Thrones. Like they're trying to shove a bunch of shit in like the because from my knowledge it's only 4 seasons. So
five is what I think the goal is 5 or 6.
Well, George R. R. Martin said they needed at least 10 episode seasons.
Who knows
if they're going to go with that.
Yeah. Last I knew it was 4. So it's like they're really going to shove a bunch of stuff because everybody was like 4. The last one will be like what happens after like all of the activity and then like, the hour of the wolf stuff
I disagree with that take. I think it's actually the opposite. I feel like this show can't go to where it's supposed to go next in the books because there's so little that's actually written about this and because it's only brought up as like a textbook in the book. Season 2 to me feels like we're stuck waiting because they're like, all right, we can't commit to the Battle of Tumbleton yet. We can't commit to bringing this back to King's Landing yet. So Damon, all season, he didn't do anything. He's in a different point, but like you could have illustrated that in so much less. Same thing with Rhaenyra. So it feels like that they just didn't know where to go. So they're just creating plot.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the one thing I was talking to Mason earlier.
Noah.
So, what?
Isn't it Noah?
I don't know.
Actually, I don't think it's Noah either. It's like something Khan. It reminds me of Noah Khan. I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway.
We just call him Noah Khan. But so that guy, I was talking to him earlier, and I was like, it's interesting that Aegon was like, Sunfire's dead. So, like, is Sunfire actually dead? Because there's a lot of stuff that needs to happen with Sunfire. So, like, does he just not know what's going on? Or he's been...
There's been a few mentions to Sunfire dying. My thinking of that is we're going to find out Sunfire's not dead, and it's just what Aemon told everybody. Because, I mean, obviously we can see Aemon's kind of positioning for himself.
Dick. Maybe, but, like, I thought the Maesters told him that.
Yeah, but, like, they weren't there, you know, so it's coming back from... And, like, the only people that we saw, like, where they crashed was Aemon when he put the gun away, or the gun, but he put the sword away, and then Kristen Cole, who came up to him when he put the sword away. So, you know.
Aemon takes the 9mm and
put. Yeah, he shot Sunfire in the back of the head.
Puts it back in his pocket after he vanquished Sunfire. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, but that's how I felt about it. I felt like season two just couldn't go to where it wants to go. I was bored all day today, so I've watched a lot of YouTube videos talking about this. I do think that the writer strike last year might have played a factor in why they couldn't get to the next battle is Tumbleton. But the next, like, big thing where, you know, they're going to King's Landing, so that's not really a spoiler. Because I feel like it should have been a 10-episode season. Season one was 10 episodes. This one was 8 episodes. Like, how many episodes? No, they didn't do it 8 for Game of Thrones. It was 10, 10, 10, and then it went to, 7 and 6 at the end?
Yeah, like 6-hour-and-a-half long ones.
Yeah, but it feels like it should have been 10 episodes because, I mean, we just had, like, Rook's Rest was episode 4. We just had 4 episodes of build-up. And not really any payoff. And it feels like episode nine, I think it's the penultimate episode or however you say it. That's usually like the pop off of these shows. And then episode 10 is kind of the fallout from that.
That's why, like, I feel like there has to, it feels like they have 2 more and they're just like, we'll hold on to them.
Exactly.
And like, okay, well.
So I think the writer's strike played a factor in that. And then I also heard, Warner Brothers Discovery, the people that own HBO, it's like $20 million per episode for House of the Dragon season 2.
Pocket change.
Yeah. So I think, if you follow like what they've done, they've basically thrown out like entire movies that they didn't think were going to turn a profit just so they could write it off on their taxes. So there's also speculation that budget wise, they were like, we need about $40 million back. So that's why they ended up cutting 2 episodes or pushing them, not cutting them, pushing them.
I think if they're going to go that route, they should really take a look at how, Lucasfilms and Disney handled the Star Wars shit.
They just keep putting shit.
The latest.
Yeah.
Like, what is it? The Acolyte or whatever, the most recent one.
Yep.
Is completely tanking. They fired the director.
Yeah, the actress. They brought back Bob Iger.
Yeah, like it just completely tanked. So I think that goes to show that a fandom's only going to take so much.
Daddy Elon needs to buy ABC.
That being said, I really do think that the reception to this episode would have been a complete 180 from what it is right now if it was not the finale.
Yeah,
because how sick was that Daemon sequence, dude? When he sees those visions, yes, dude.
Did you sick.
Tell me about what he saw,
dude?
It's right before that. So I want to ask if you saw this. So right before they have that scene with the Weirwood Tree, when the other guy comes up to Daemon and basically saying like he should declare himself king, because while he's built an army, you know, Rhaenyra's not done anything. Mm-hmm. Did you hear, you know how he hears that whisper? Did you hear what the whisper said, or did you have subtitles on? Yeah. So, because I missed it at first.
I'm a subtitle guy.
I was watching it. You just hear him you just see him hear something and he goes, did you hear that? If you have subtitles on or the volume up, there's a whisper. It's just traitor.
It was Helena.
Yeah, I didn't even think
that's about what I thought. I mean, I didn't know initially until after that.
Yeah,
what did it say?
Traitor.
The whisper. So it called the guy that was telling but the guy that was telling him to take up the role as king. It was calling him a traitor right before he said it, and it was a whisper. So
Helaena is the three-eyed raven, essentially.
Right? I feel like that's implied.
She's part of it. She's like a dragon dreamer.
Yeah. So she can see. And because
she dreams about dragons.
Blood. What's his name? Blood.
It's like prophetic.
Blood Raven. Yeah.
Raven
is Targaryen.
Yes. And they showed Brendan Rivers to confirm that that was Brendan Rivers and he was a Targaryen. So they like confirmed that in that sequence.
Yeah.
That he was.
He didn't look like what I expected from what I read. Brendan was expecting an old man. But he looked
The guy that became the three-eyed raven in Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Okay.
Was whispering eye? That huge blood red mark on his face.
Yeah, I was going to say something else and I forgot.
He has Dark Sister.
Yeah, he ends up taking Daemon's sword up there eventually. Yep.
In Thrones and in the cave, he's got it in there somewhere.
Yeah. Yep.
So wait, what's a Dark Sister?
The sword.
Ooh, it's like a
snow. I don't know what I thought it was.
It's a fleshlight.
It's a Dark Sister.
I thought it was a different.
It's an African of a
sister. Listen, what are you talking about, Step Bro?
Yeah.
Jesus. What are you talking about, Step Sword?
Don't fuck with him. She's got a really bad Step Sword. You don't want to mess with that one.
What was I going to say about fucking hot
dream sequence, dude? I'm pretty sure you see Robert Baratheon with his stag helmet.
Yes, you see
the down dragon.
You're talking about the creature before he goes up to the Weirwood?
Yeah.
You saw that, right? I think that's I don't think anybody knows what it's supposed to be. I've seen people say that it looks like Robert just because it has the stag helmet.
Yeah.
But actually, it looks like it looks like an interpretation of the devil. Phil, when he's going up to the Weirwood before he has his dreams and they're just walking up to it, there's like a creature in the background you see running and then he looks back and it's gone. And it's meant to look like a human, deer, demonic creature. I've seen people say that it's Robert Baratheon. I've seen people say that it's the Children of the Forest.
How would it be Robert?
Ooh, that would be something.
Just a vision. But yeah, I think I've seen more speculation that it's the Children of the Forest, even though it doesn't look how they look in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, but all the ones that we saw were just the little girls.
Yeah, like woodenish elves almost.
Maybe it's a dude.
That would be really cool though if it was something along those lines.
Yeah, but that's what they think it is. So okay, so now
the forest.
So, because Helena's not like tied to the three-eyed raven, she's a dragon dreamer. So, in the books, those are like very different things, like the Weirwood dreams versus like her visions. So, the show seems like it's taking a different direction and intertwining them.
Yeah,
because Helena talked to Daemon in Weirwood dream, and then she just turns around in real life and starts talking to Aemon,
which is crazy to me. Because if you kind of tie that back to Blood and Cheese, it's like how, you know,
it's
an age-old joke, like, oh, if you were psychic, you would have known I was coming, you know. But
he can't see the future. He can see what is happening and what has happened.
Right. So I was saying Helaena might not have seen her son getting killed, but in my mind, she should have at least seen the event.
We don't know for sure if that's true or not, because Brandon Stark might have been able to see the future.
So I also heard something that all Starks have that ability in the book, the warging.
They can warg, yeah.
And that he...
What the fuck?
I know, this is so funny for Royal, who just has no idea.
Royal sitting there, nerds.
My mind's just
exploding. Have to be here if you don't want, but you do bring the vibes.
All I can say is, when you guys are talking about this, all I can think is the South Park episode with the mall, and all they're talking about is wieners, fluffy, fluffy wieners. That's all I think about when you guys are talking about this.
We ordered some pizzas. Yes, the pizzas are coming.
They're coming. Guys, the pizzas are almost here.
I have diabetes. I need the pizza. The pizzas are coming. They're almost here.
I want to break down that vision sequence scene by scene.
Yeah, so I've talked about what I want to talk about. So go into the actual dream sequence.
The next part, I don't remember the exact order, but you see him drowning, which I'm assuming is a direct future vision of his demise. Yes. And then he sees Rhaenyra on the throne, which is probably like a realization for him. Like, okay, she is the one that's meant to be there. And then what else does he... I mean, he sees Khaleesi with her dragons, sees the White Walker and the Whites.
They don't show her face, just the top of her butt cheek, her plumber's crack, because they don't want to they didn't want to pay for Dany.
The full crack cost extra.
Yep. What else did it show?
I think it starts with like Brendan Rivers and like him being the three-eyed raven, and then the actual three-eyed raven flying shows him drowning in water, and then it shows him walking through
the dragons,
like, yeah, a battlefield of people and dragons. You see like actual blood, and then like the black liquid that dragons bleed. Then you see another image of a dead dragon on the ground. I think that the video I was listening to, I think they speculated, not that I forget who they thought it was, but there's also dead dragons behind him. So I think it's illustrating the dance of the dragons of the death.
There's
of
a dragons. Scene that made me think that he was seeing through the eyes of a direwolf when it was like running through.
No, it's a bird, because it goes into the eye and then you see it as a reflection. See the White Walker with the army of the dead walking behind him. It looks like a Teemu version of the the actual Night King from Game of Thrones.
Ordered my Night King. That's the evening president.
Yeah. You see the White Walkers through him, and then it flips to the comet. When Daenerys had her three dragons born, when she did that black magic fire, and then they show the eggs in the fire from the end of season one of Game of Thrones. And then he sees Helena in the dream, where she basically says, like, you are, like, you know, she's basically doing what Deadpool does and breaking the fourth wall and she's saying, this isn't your story, you're just part of this story.
Well, I thought that was Alice.
Mm-mm. No, that's Helena in the dream sequence.
Yeah, she was directly talking.
Yeah, they see each other face to face, and she basically says, like, you're not the story's not, you're not the main character, you're just a piece of the story, which is true, because like that's literally how the book reads. He's just a character in the book, so it's kind of like a meta moment.
And that's almost word for word what the witch told Daemon,
right? And that's
earlier in the season. That makes me think, like, if they're going off script, like, is Helena this witch, and
yeah, are they colluding?
Like, are they all connected in some way as like a hive mind for the three-eyed raven, or is it something really different?
Do we know if Alice Rivers is like confirmed real? Because I thought that there was a sequence where like Simon Strong mentioned her or something like that.
Yeah,
and I said it to these guys I was golfing with on Saturday, and they said that no, they told me no, they never mentioned her by name. They just said like one of their maesters is going to help whatever Tully's name, Oscar Tully, who ended up passing.
He said she went, I think.
By name?
He named her, yeah. He named her.
That's what I thought, but he corrected me. And these are just random guys I was golfing with. So, anyway.
They don't know.
No.
I'm pretty sure that the maester was like your...
Yeah, we send Alice, like our maester Rivers or whatever.
Yeah, went to visit Grover Tully.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what they do with her when Aemon comes to visit, because I don't think that they're going to take it the way the book did.
I don't either, but I do think that I can't get over that vision sequence. Like, we literally saw A Song of Ice and Fire, like the vision.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like that.
Awesome. I love
it. A lot of people were upset about it.
Why?
I Because we know how poorly Game of Thrones ended and how meaningless a lot of the things ended up being in Game of Thrones when it came to the Night King and the Long Night.
All of that was stuff that, like, obviously was going to happen in... It was the Long Night. It was, you know, Dany's dragons. Like, none of it was, like, the crappy stuff from...
Yeah, but without getting into, like, Game of Thrones, like, it didn't ultimately really matter. Like, to the story, like, it was solved in an episode of the entire series.
Yeah.
So, right. And that's not how I feel about it. That's just from a lot of the YouTube videos and, like, a lot of the sentiment that I've seen. I think a fair criticism of it is we just spent so much time, like... through these visions, changing Daemon from the hothead that wanted to become king when he first got there in episode 2 or episode 3, whenever it was. So they spent all those episodes turning him into this person that, you know, at the end, that last scene with Viserys, it looks like he's already getting to that conclusion that he wants to be a peace, but not the one ruling. So a lot of people think that it's cheap that, you know, ultimately the reason that he's bending the knee is because he just had this, you know, It just, I guess they don't think that it's earned because it was just, oh, this vision of, you know, the entire plot of what's going to happen. He just got to basically read the book and now he's changed.
I think it's going to develop him more and it gives him more of a purpose.
I like that it connects to the original series because it's supposed to.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think as far as Damon's concerned, maybe they're realizing that like Matt Smith is the dude from this show. Like,
yes.
And so they're like, all right, we need to do a little bit more with him and like develop him because it exactly he was like the rogue prince. And now it's like he's, you know, with Viserys,
he understands what Viserys was doing.
Right. Yeah. He's being empathetic and like understanding like, oh, yeah. Like when I said the error for the day, like. That's tough. And like, you had a lot of stuff going on and like, yeah, the crown will crush you. Like he understands those things. So like, I kind of like it, but I do like asshole Daemon. So I'm like, I don't want him to lose his edge, but like, okay, great. Right. Right. You're like, now you're Rhaenyra's right hand. Perfect. That's what you should be. Now go kick some ass.
Yeah. And I guess that's more me hope. It's wishful or hopeful of me to say that he'll remain himself just with a new purpose. He'll have that vision. So he's going to apply his badassery to seeing it through as best he can.
Yeah. And it's interesting because what the book tends to imply that like, you know, without going too far into it, like I'm glad that it isn't like that he's just after ass, because you know they make it seem like, oh, you know, does he actually drown?
Royal Mills has left the meeting.
Oh, at least that was low-key.
Yeah.
He was giving us like the peace sign and like trying to be low-key about it.
Mark's just
Royal's tapped out of the podcast. For anyone that's listening, he hasn't spoken in a while, so that's okay.
Guy's done. We roasted him with A Song of Ice and Fire.
A Song of Ice and Fire.
Yeah, but I don't remember what I was talking about.
Yeah, any other like major? Because I know I suggested rewriting the series, obviously, or the season. We can't do that on the fly.
Ulf is a turd.
Who?
Ulf.
Ulf. I know. Ulf is a piece of shit, bro.
Dude, he really is.
He's just immediately like starring shit. Although I will say, Jace is like the most insecure fucking kid in the Seven Kingdoms.
Yes.
But mommy, I'm a bastard.
I feel like Ulf's personality kind of took a turn. Like I never really pegged him as like a.
He was like a bard.
I did peg him.
Like
yeah.
Now it's like, dude, you're a guy now, and he's like, ah, give me two chickens. Like
yeah, he just kind of like is it, like this asshole switch flipped on that didn't.
Yeah.
To me, you know, it just didn't. It didn't mesh with the personality I got from him prior to.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I feel like if we were to talk about season two as a whole, it feels, I think that's where a lot of the like season seven, season eight Game of Thrones concept or like comparisons come into play. Cause it's a lot of like contrivances and a lot of things happening for the sake of progressing the plot. So it's like, you know, he's because ultimately what's happening is going to happen either way because of the, it's based on the books. So it's all right. How do we start building him towards that? Like, all right. How do we just immediately start branding Daenerys as the Mad Queen to get to where we want to go?
It doesn't feel
authentic.
Yeah, it didn't. It wasn't like an organic growth.
Because he seemed like in the bar scenes, like if he was a drunk or like a drunk, that's one thing. But
yeah,
he seemed like a fun loving guy.
Yeah, right. he was the guy,
community dude.
He was the guy that's like, you know, if only I just had my opportunity. And it's like, well, here's your app. And they're like, oh, but my knee. And it's like, get in there, man. Like, coach calling you up. Get in the game. And now he's like, I'm the best ever. I've thrown 3 touchdowns. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it just,
you've done
it. He is allegedly half brothers with Daemon. So there's the fireness, whereas Hugh is like a descendant of a bastard or something like that. And he's still a lot more, he's acting like honorable, you know.
I just looked this up. So Hugh's mom is Jaehaerys's sister, Sarah. And
I believe daughter.
Maybe. And then
because she slept around a little bit, she got banished to Essos to be one of the Silent Sisters.
Baelin is Viserys and Daemon's dad. Ulf is his bastard.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Hugh's mom was one of Jaehaerys, because Jaehaerys had a lot of kids, but he ended up not having any heirs because he outlived them all. And I think the thing was, like, he had a couple daughters that were still alive, but they were, like, Silent Sisters or, like, gone. So that's why it ultimately became either Rhaenys or Viserys. But, yeah, she messed around a little bit, you know. So they're like, all right, go be a Silent Sister. And she ran away and then became a whore in a whorehouse because, you know, as Hugh said, people will pay more to fuck somebody with silver hair because it's a Targaryen. So she kind of became like her own thing. And then I do think that some of Hugh's brothers or some other relative, they came back to Westeros when Jaehaerys was still king. And he didn't like recognize their birthright or anything.
Yeah.
And so it is also ironic that he ends up with his dragon because of that, though.
Right. Yeah. I think that another great part of the episode was, was it Rhaena running into Sheep Stealer?
Oh yeah,
Sheep Stealer looked pretty cool.
Again, I feel like I feel like that was all set up with very little payoff. But I do like that we finally saw Sheep Stealer. Look sick. We also got to see Tessarion. Look sick. From the distance. Yeah, I love that. I mean, anytime the dragons are in, it's like me, like the Leonardo DiCaprio meme where he starts pointing at the TV. Yeah, anytime there's a dragon on House of the Dragon.
I do that when the ASPCA commercials come on and Leica is just
like, know how good he has it.
He's just passed out like on the couch and it's like, these poor dogs are starving and shivering outside. It's like, see, look, you bastard, those poor dogs, and you're just sitting here doing nothing.
Yeah, speaking of doing nothing, I was lost for a moment when they cut scene to that town burning.
Oh yeah,
Aemon and Vhagar. I was like,
yeah, he was just pissed.
Burned the town. Like, did Aemon just find this town? And then I found out that Aemon and Vhagar.
What's the significance of this town?
Yeah, and then they were like, oh, Aemon, how are you just gonna burn a city? And I'm like, what? What? Like, the dude, he flew away from Dragonstone, pissed off.
He was so pissed. Like, that's
fuck this town right here.
That's why Allison, his mom, called him out later that episode. And is like, every time that you're embarrassed, you take it out on the little people. So you were embarrassed because you had to flee because Rhaenyra had too many dragons. And you took out that embarrassment by leveling a city.
Right. And it doesn't make sense to me. I kind of get, like,
as his brother said, he's mad con
and he's being emotional. but he was like, he's pegged up to be the next Damon, right? Like he's supposed to be like the other side of the coin, Damon. And
he is though, because he's the only one that's he is also the only character that's been consistently working towards the overall goal.
But he was supposed to be a smart,
he's the anger
and strategist, and he was supposed to have a good mind for battle. And then he's like, "Fuck the sound," and then just blows up the sound. Like, that's going to help his cause in any capacity.
He's letting his anger dictate how he rules, and it's going
to. It didn't make sense to me, and it also wasn't very clear initially to me that he was the one that did it until they told us.
That's fair. I knew because I watched, like, that was in the episode preview. Also, I'm very disappointed that we got with that cannibal trailer.
Yeah, I had a feeling.
I know. Later that night, I was watching it again, and I'm like, you know, it looks real. It has the same amount of views as the other trailer, but it's not like the other one I can see coming. Like, it was from a different page, but it was also from a Game of Thrones page. I was like, I can't find this one on any other page, but I didn't want to admit to it yet until I saw how the episode played out. So I thought we were going to get to see the cannibal. I got caught.
Still might.
Fake still news.
Might. Still might. You never know.
Hopefully.
That would be a
what's the other one? Gray Ghost?
What?
Gray Ghost, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the other free dragon. So what other major plot points do we want to talk about? Aegon is going with Cleftfoot to Essos to wait it out, let everybody kill each other.
Greatbeards walking, right? That looked pretty badass.
Yeah.
And I was like, those dudes look like they could mess some shit up.
They were crossing, what's it called?
Bridge.
Where the Red Wedding happens.
Yeah.
That bridge.
Frey.
The Frey's bridge.
But I watched a like a behind the scenes thing, and initially Craig and Stark was in that shot and they took him out.
Okay. So the last thing I want to talk about instead of rewriting it was just if we have any ways that we think we could improve the season. One of the things I have is more Kragan.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
that was a giant, like, in the first minute of the first episode, and then never again. Like,
Dude. And again, they're setting up for future seasons. So, I mean, unless we have anything else that we want to talk about, you guys can
bring it up. Unless he fully takes over, like, in one of them.
He will at the end for a little bit, but...
But is that one episode? Is that one season?
So... Like, my overall sentiment on how I think season two could have been improved was less Damon, less Rhaenyra, less of, like, again, the scenes that people got tired of like him having visions, Rhaenyra not doing anything, Allison not doing anything, less of those and more of the side characters, more Kragan, more even Jace, more Bela. Like, they just didn't, they were just on the shelves all season. More, they should have had more.
Rhaena's just sitting up.
They're giving her something.
She got so sick of her freaking story that she just went off on her own and found a dragon.
And they showed Otto. They did show Otto apparently locked up, but like, we didn't get any Otto after he got kicked out of there, episode three. We didn't get any built. Like, obviously, we got to see Allison's brother, but like, we didn't really. Like, they could have done a lot more there. They could, like, I feel like they. This is again the season seven, season eight comps where it's like, one, it feels like time traveling's kind of back. Everybody's just where they need to be in the next scene, just like that.
Yes.
There's a lot of dragon riders, but a lot of the other people are also moving back and forth very quickly. Like, I know
ravens fly at light speed, apparently.
I know Dragonstone and King's Landing are relatively close, but the fact that Rhaenyra and Allison keep meeting up.
Yeah, the Wi-Fi is insane.
Yeah.
They're just
10G speeds.
So it's like a lot of things are just boom, boom, boom. And And again, it's like boom, 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 wait. Like, because they're not doing anything. So it's like this stuff keeps
rushing
happening.
To a red light.
I have a question. Where's Cheese's dog?
They stopped showing him once the bodies got cut down.
Come on. I want to see that dog.
That was a pretty consistent plot point in the first half of the season.
I thought it was going to mean something a little more than nothing.
Yeah, they would fly past stuff. But that was my biggest thing. And I think more of like, and I know it's a lot of talking, but it's not like Game of Thrones talking in the early seasons where it was a lot of like actual political maneuvering happening in the finite details. Like one of the guys I was listening to today, it's like, you know, you don't really have to, they're not really doing anything to earn these people's allegiances besides just like having a conversation. And people are just bending the knee. There's no like give and take. There's no conversations that are happening without the main character's presence.
There's like no politics. There's no social.
It feels, and I know that again, it's written like an excerpt from a history book, but it kind of feels like that's how it's being produced as well.
Yeah, and okay, that shows how little they have George R. R. Martin really like contributing to how it's playing out, because I don't think he would let a lot of this stuff fly. Like I will say. I kind of agree with your idea on how to make it better. I think that Damon's whole storyline this season could have been played out a lot better. I was totally cool with it, and I would actually like more Damon had they kind of consolidated
his more if he had stuff to do. Yeah. Like what they like, did, they could have done it in a couple.
Instead of those visions, like one little vision, an episode, like have all his brother's visions. And one, and then he's gone for an episode, and then another episode. That's when you do small little bits of the Song of Ice and Fire, and then, you know, kind of make it more of an impactful scene instead of this slowly drawn out thing. I also think that it's a complete swing and miss not to bring in the Starks and Kragan. Like you cannot.
He's supposed to be Jace's best friend. They're supposed to be like...
They're supposed to be like brothers, and right? Like
he's supposed to be smashing what's her
face. Yeah, there's supposed to be a girl involved too.
And then she's like, not even in here.
And like, on top of that,
you could also culture, just...
Like everyone loves the Starks, House Stark.
And you could just show the world building of like Kragan and Stark getting the Greybeards and like talking to the other houses of the North and just build out the world. Like, cause we all want, I know eventually the Greyjoys are going to get brought up into the story, but the Greyjoys are here. I remember them from Game of Thrones. Those are more like authentic connections compared to like, here's Daenerys.
Right? Like they have their own ties into Game of Thrones with their house and what they're doing north of the wall.
But that one lady did call the one Lannister guy Tywin, though, which was funny.
Yeah. And you can I just felt like there was so much they could have done to like fill the lack of action gaps through the season by sprinkling the North in there and like north of the wall and winter is coming. Like you can add all that in without it feeling corny and coattailing.
Yeah,
but they wanted you to know that Rhaenyra and what's her face kiss, and that Daemon is maturing, and Alicent was getting slammed by Kristen. But
even that kiss that I know a lot of people don't like it. Doesn't seem like it matters. But like you can, if they could have built that. Like they could have done more to establish that as a more significant moment, but it just happens.
Yeah, exactly. Like it happened, I was like, okay, and then it just
all it would have taken, because they have scenes where they're together. All it could have taken is like an extra moment of eye contact or like hand touching, just something in a prior scene to plant the seed, so it's an actual payoff. And it's not just checking.
Then, in Game of Thrones fashion, that should have some sort of impact or consequence down the line.
Yeah.
And right now, it's like, ooh, like you had a quick little sneaky link moment with the chick, and that's it.
I did see one guy who said that not that this is why they did it, but he's like, the only real like thing that I've gathered from that moment where Rhaenyra kissed her is that. They do think that Alicent and Rhaenyra had romantic feelings for each other when they were children, which in the early scenes, you know, obviously they're friends, but you could discern that. And then in the following episode, the one that just came yesterday, Alicent asks, like, run away with me.
Yeah. I was getting that vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So like that was his take. I'm not saying that's mine, but.
Like, Smash or what's going on?
Episode would have been a hit.
Yeah. number one on porn.
It just becomes a sex scene at the end of season two.
With Rhaenyra, highest rated episode.
With Rhaenyra, I would never doubt it. That's the one thing that I've seen from her, and I guess Allison at this point. But now Allison's back in the blue dresses, so she's good again. She's not wearing green anymore.
Kristen like knocks on the door, and then he jumps in, and it's just
We didn't talk about that at all.
His line when he's getting threatened by Allison's brother, where he's like, "The dragons dance, and we are dust beneath their wings," or whatever. I was like, "That's a cool line."
Yeah,
you're fucking bomb.
And I forget how he started that because it didn't start great, and then he says that, and even his brother was like, "Fuck, that was pretty fire." All right.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, "Oh damn, dude, that was deep.
All right, shit, that was pretty hard." Yeah, he's like,
us to our death, blah, blah, blah. Like, you don't care. You just want to sleep with my sister and you're not a knight. And he's like, listen, man, I've slept with a lot of people.
Yeah.
My bad.
There's no such thing as honor. He said, honor is the morning mist and it melts away.
Yeah. And I feel like in those
times, I would point to Brienne of Tarth and say, I disagree.
Yeah, I'd be like, "Are you all right, man? Like, what the fuck's going on?"
No, and then he said why he's not all right. He said we're walking to our doom.
Yeah, well, I think that plays into like a philosophical thing where it's like, hard times create tough men. Tough men create good times. Good times create weak men. So I think they've had so much time of peace that you know, everything's kind of just come pretty smoothly. And
he's one of the few people who saw a battle. But I think he just became, and again, that's where like they could, if they did more, they could earn it. But I think that that's meant to be a representation of how much he was changed by the Battle of Rook's Rest.
Yeah.
Yep. Because of how horrifying the battle scene was when he goes and touches the one guy that literally turns to ash. But they left it alone.
Like a pretty minor scene. You know, and if it impacted him this much, I felt like they could have made it a little more.
Yeah, they left it alone since it happened. And that's the first time like you've really gotten a follow up from him. So like you could show the trauma, you could show that, and it would pay it off a bit more. I don't know. It feels like they put themselves under these constraints that they didn't have to in regards to getting the story put together and out to us.
The guy's just email. I don't know.
House or the Night of the Seven Kingdoms series, the first season's only going to be 6 episodes, so I wonder how
how they
build that in so few episodes.
Gotta have 10.
And I don't understand how they're going to slide that in between seasons 2 and 3 of House of the Dragon, which all happens 100 years before.
Well, they're going to be, you know, their own shows. So I think they start because they just actually last night the first full teaser came out for that.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Yeah, first night of the Seven Kingdoms teaser's out. They're filming it now in early summer, so that will come out next year in 2025, and then House of Dragons season 3 will probably come out 2 years from now in 2026. So we'll have a Game of Thrones universe show every year, at least for the next few years until those wrap up, and then if they green light anything else. Yeah, that's the thing, like
MCU fanatic in me, but I just like to see linear continuity for the most part.
There's a lot of franchise fatigue with like the MCU and like Star Wars and stuff at this point, but I feel like there's still so much opportunity with the Game of Thrones universe. Like people want a sequel.
As long as it's
people want a Robert's Rebellion series. People want a Blackfyre Rebellion series. Like there's so much that people want to see, and they're just kind of, you know, slowly dabbling here and there.
Like a Stark origin story.
Yeah, like a Stark one. They did burn $35 million a couple years ago putting together a pilot episode of a series that was going to be the first Long Night thousands of years before Game of Thrones was set. They spent $35 million on it, and it tanked. I do know one of the reasons was their choice for, and I think I can say this without it being a problem, but instead of, you know, giving us these unique creatures that were the children of the forest, they just casted them all as black people. So the only black people in the series were the children of the forest.
That caused all the problems.
And they, well, I think it was just a really bad optics. And they spent $35 million on a pilot episode, and it went.
That would have been a sick show.
That was before House of the Dragon. So that was the first one that they tried to do after Game of Thrones was wrapping up.
And that, you know, I'm not a Hollywood guy. Obviously, I don't know any of the behind the scenes stuff, but it just does. I feel like the House of the Dragon, great idea. Like the whole Targaryen Civil War, fantastic idea to build a show around. But Night of the Seven Kingdoms or The First Long Night, which one are you going to pick? Which one would you rather see?
Because they don't even. The thing is, like the new, they call them the novellas, I think is what it's called. They aren't even done yet for the Dunkin' Egg series. There's supposed to be six. He's only written three so far.
Let him write. Yeah,
they're repeating Game of Thrones, where they're writing a story that George R. R. Martin hasn't finished yet.
Yep, and it's driving me nuts. And then it's like, okay, so after Dunkin' Egg, there's another one they're doing, right?
Yeah, something about the 10,000 ships or something.
Yeah, like, and okay, would you rather see that, or would you rather see, like, post Game of Thrones Jon Snow? Because that was rumored to be a thing.
That was when I didn't watch Game of Thrones when it came out. I discovered it through this lovely podcast last year. But that, like, when that show first ended, like, I know Kit Harington and everybody was like, let's do this. And HBO was like, no. And I feel like interest is kind of died out from the people that would be involved in that a lot, because just with time passing.
Well, yeah, they blew their opportunity. It's been, what, almost 10 years?
I don't know.
How long has it been since the last season?
Five.
All right.
5 years? That's it?
Yep.
This.
Oh, damn.
This Lord is getting sleepy.
it was over. I had to fact check myself. I said 35 million, over 30 million. Okay. All right. Any major final thoughts then before we go to bed?
No.
Looking forward to our season three.
I need to
teaser episode.
Yes. All right. Well, appreciate everybody listening to this gem. We talked a lot, and, you know, approach us. If you see us on the street, talk to us about this, because we've talked for quite some time and could probably go for like an hour and a half more. So
if you see something, say something.
If you see a dragon, you should probably say something. Or if you see a half man, half deer running behind you,
probably tell me.
Yeah. Tell us.
Text me.
Let us know in the comments below.
Yeah. Yeah. Hammer that subscribe.
And while you're there, hit that like button. Hit the subscribe. Hit the follow. Hit all the buttons. We love you.
Tell your friends. Tell your liege lord. Tell everybody about this. And we love you.
Shout out Simon Strong.
Shout out.
Dreams. Always play Disney music over your sex tapes. So if they get leaked, copyright saves them.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Tree Fort Gang is an Audio Boom original podcast. Edison is written by Aaron Sprinkle and is produced and performed by Soul Shifters.